I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen up, San Diego.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the end of the workday, but Gwen and Chris is just getting started. New year, same Gwen and Chris.
Well, you don't need a shrink to tell you that this guy's a raving psycho.
With Tony Quinn Jr.
So what about the other one?
I can't hear.
Maybe you should. So you're wearing, you're actually wearing headphones that don't work?
I need some sort of, like, it's all fuzzy. It's like.
There goes another promo.
And Chris Ello.
All right, easy on the buzzer. It's Friday, for heaven's sakes.
Friday.
And if you buzz me, I'm going to come over there and strangle you.
Gwen and Chris help you get home from work. Now on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
That is Jim Crane. He is still the owner of the Houston Astros, and there are more Astros than ever after the Astros press conference today. Welcome into Gwen and Chris, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Shortly after 3 o'clock, we got 4 full hours to hang out with you today. Chris Ello back here after a couple of days. Very successful days in Albuquerque. Tony Gwynn Jr., how are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Well, I had a good
Welcome
time.
Back.
I had a good time. Thank you. Tuesday night, I went and watched the men's game in a Albuquerque sports bar. And I don't know, you know this about me. I love being on the road. It was great with like me and like two other people with Aztec gear on and a whole sports bar full of Lobo fans who thought they were going to pull off the upset in the first half because the game was
salty
pretty close.
In the second half.
But man, they were quiet in that second half. They weren't even salty. They just were quiet.
They just accepted it.
They
like,
just accepted it.
It was happening.
They got punched in the mouth and the Aztecs won. And then last night the women's team won. And it was fun because remember when the men's team went down to the pit and outscored him 17-0 to start the game.
Yeah, they standing for a while.
All the fans had to stand for like 5 minutes. Well, the women's team did pretty much the same thing last night. Outscored him, I think, 8-0 to open the game, but it took New Mexico's team like four and a half minutes to score, so all the fans were standing. I got
That's
a big
the only thing about
that.
That standing until the team makes a bucket.
Yeah, they might want to rethink that one. They might want to rethink
Do
that
it on
one.
Years, your team is really good.
Yeah, if you're... That's right. But if you have a chance of being scoreless for the first 3, 4, 5 minutes of the game,
don't do it that year.
Don't do that.
Those years.
Just take a year off. Maybe the Astros need to take 5 years off.
Gosh.
I mean, their press conference today was just one embarrassment after another. You heard Jim Crane there to open the show. I mean, he said, what we did had absolutely no impact on any of the outcomes. And then somebody asked him, did you really say that it had no impact? And he said, no, I didn't say that. And somebody timed it, I guess.
55 seconds.
Yeah. 55 seconds later is when he said that I didn't say that. Alex Bregman, who's nobody's favorite to begin with, I
don't
think.
Oh, I have that. I have that.
Can we play that one, too?
Play a little of him. Hang on just a second. And
sure.
And then Jose Altuve also spoke. And I think you were correct about Altuve, Tony. We were talking about this. I don't believe anything he says necessarily, but keep in mind that English probably isn't his first language. It's not easy to put him in front of that firing squad when, he's a... He speaks another language.
And it doesn't absolve him from anything, but his little 2-minute speech thing came off.
Never comes out right.
Yeah, it just
because
he doesn't
pronounce or he doesn't hit on the right words at the right time,
and
that's because he doesn't know the language as well. So I mean, I give him a little bit of a pass, but Bregman. I've never been a fan. Ever since he said that he could hit 370 whenever he wanted to, but he just chose not to.
We know why now, though. He felt like that.
That's right. I hadn't thought of that.
We We know why. He felt
hit 370. When he was when he had like the 1,000 OPS, but he was only hitting about 250. He said, I can hit 370 anytime I want to. I just don't choose to. I just choose to hit for power and, you know, and get doubles and home runs and drive in runs. That's all I care about.
Right.
I don't care about my batting average. So, you know, I took exception to that as a Tony Gwynn fan. Anybody that says you can just hit 370 by rolling your bat out there.
I'm not going to lie. That kind of hit me sideways.
You got
too.
That one, yeah. Too. Yeah. So here's Bregman today on his take on the whole asterisks mess.
Thank you, Jim. I have some brief remarks that I'd like to share with y'all. I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
That was the most rehearsed. He was in the mirror literally all night.
Can you imagine if you did something at home that kind of made your better half a little angry, and you walked in with a piece of paper, and you looked down at your piece of paper, and you said, honey, I am sorry for what just happened. It didn't, you know what I'm saying? I mean, how that was. I mean, there is no way you can take anything Bregman said with any hint of sincerity.
No, I mean, it didn't feel sincere. It felt like he had studied that paper that flew off of the desk while he was up there. and then the gentleman slowly put it back on the desk. He didn't look at it, but it seemed like he had rehearsed it very, very well. To the point where,
but if you rehearse something that's terrible very, very well, it's still terrible.
There's no doubt about it. Scraby, you're
I'm pointing. I'm trying to get Chris's attention. We do have Jose Altuve.
Okay, well, I want to hear from him in a second, but I wanted to. David P. Sampson had my favorite tweet of the day, who's talked about because the Astros PR department had to be part of all of this. I mean, at least trying to coach these guys in what to say, what to do. And it said, this Astros press conference was embarrassing, totally unprepared. Who did Jim Crane use for PR help? Enron? That's a great tweet right there.
That's quality.
Yeah, beautiful one by David P. Sampson. All right, let's hear Altuve for his part.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Alex. I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night, and I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball, and our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020. Thank you.
Good luck with that.
You can hear the trembling in his voice, mainly because it's not his first language. As he's standing in front, like you, as bad as Bregman's was, he at least tried to convey authority when he was giving his little his 2 minute speech.
Yeah.
You can hear Altuve like trembling because he's nervous about it.
Absolutely. I mean, imagine if you were a soccer player playing in an Italian league or something, and there was
will be brief.
Yeah, well, he was brief, yes. That's
okay.
He
was very brief.
But, you know, I don't think that they're going to escape this thing anytime soon.
No.
I really don't. So we'll just see where it all goes. It was a mess. We'll talk plenty about it today. Justin Verlander squarely under fire today, too, as
Justin,
well.
Justin,
I mean,
Justin.
It is amazing how Justin Verlander, how two-faced he's come off in this whole thing.
One of the things Justin likes to do is – he likes to get on his soapbox,
mm-hmm.
and when somebody messes up, I have couple of his tweets here.
Oh yeah,
this one was after Robinson Cano. All I'm saying is I don't care if balls are juiced. Seriously, we're all using the same ball, so it's fair. It's a fair field. My issue is I don't like being lied to. I know something was different. Century-old records are being broken and numbers are skewed. That was one of his...
Yeah, he was so outlandishly out there against the steroid thing. And fair enough, but whatever they say, people who live in glass houses should not throw stones.
No.
I mean, that's Justin Verlander, because he... Now it's all coming full circle around back to him after he, you know, gave no apology at all for anything that the Astros did.
This is the one right after Cano. This one's really relevant right now. And excuse coming in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, really?
Oh,
ouch. Yeah.
And Justin Verlander is a guy who's like a pitcher's rights guy. And
right?
He's going against his own kind.
Right.
Yeah.
It goes to show you. And if you're one benefiting from it, you feel a little different at the time.
We have a clip that we'll play of Justin Verlander at some point during the show. And you could hear him kind of try to make excuses for it in his head.
Yeah.
Well, he's
there's going to be a lot of that this year.
They're going to be doing that all season long. Mike Meltzer, who's a host for ESPN Radio in Houston, is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. So we'll get a little more involved in this Houston Astros mess. But they did have their press conference today, and I believe they satisfied absolutely no one. So
they
good
put
for
a,
them.
It would be like, what is it? Like the Rock zero.
Oh yeah, the score was everybody else satisfied. Astros rock. Because they didn't satisfy anybody. All right, that's getting us underway here. Plenty to kick around. Padres obviously getting rolling down in Peoria. And we're going to talk with Katie Wu of MILB.com. She follows the Padres prospects very closely, and we'll take a look at some of those prospects as we head into spring training and the people to keep an eye on. So that's coming up in the 3 o'clock. The 4 o'clock, as I said, Mike Meltzer to talk from Houston about the Astros situation. Hoping to catch up with an Aztec basketball player a little bit later in the program, as they will be shooting for, God, I'm losing track now, 26 in a row?
Six, yes.
My goodness, 25-0. They'll be going for 26 on Sunday in Boise, Idaho. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. Chris Ello back in the saddle. Tony Gwynn Jr., Scraby, the rest of the gang on a Thursday afternoon. Welcome, everybody. San Diego's number one sports talk station. We are 97.3 The Fan, and let's check a little traffic with Sue.
Just want to remind you guys all this week, you have a chance to win tickets to the Rolling Stones No Filter Tour stop at SDCCU Fan Stadium on Friday, May 8th. You have two chances to win on The Fan once in the morning with Ben and Woods beginning at 5 a.m. and again as you drive home beginning at 3 p.m. with Chris and I. Get tickets to go see the Rolling Stones at Ticketmaster.com or win them on 97.3 The Fan. To win, listen for a clip that will play. Any piece of song... say again? What was it? Scraby, you doing the sign language thing again?
In show,
that's right.
Because there is a commercial going around.
There's a commercial going around. Last time we had a bunch of calls during
the
commercial. That doesn't count. It has to be sound from a Rolling Stone song in show. All right?
During the show.
Remember, you have two chances to win it, once in the morning and once at 3 p.m.
It can be any time between now and 7 o'clock.
That's
so
right.
Stick around.
You got to stick around and
good
listen.
Good luck. Hopefully
all right.
You'll win.
With all of the Houston craziness going on.
Can I just throw one quick thing before you sneak
please.
In this? Because I was just watching Jose Altuve and him on the television up there trying his best to. And I really feel like the whole Astro team threw him under the bus. And maybe to a certain extent Bregman, too. Because they had to speak for everybody. To me, if the Astros felt any remorse at all, I honestly, as a PR department, would have had the whole damn team up there.
It would have looked better.
The entire team should have been standing up there. And then you can have coming out, speak for everybody. But the fact that Jose Altuve, who has broken English at best, is basically trying to explain this for an entire organization is part of the reason it came off so poorly.
I honestly thought that's what we were going to see today, was like the whole team kind of back there. But on the other hand, I kind of understand why, right? Because if you're one of the pitchers that didn't really want to participate in it, you don't necessarily want to be the one that has to go in front of everybody to explain yourself. Because I think we all know, yes, the pitchers benefited because they were on the team, but they weren't actually the ones out there taking advantage of it. So maybe it was like, well, you guys are the face of these of us position players. Maybe you guys should get out there and talk about it.
Still think the whole team should have
stuck together. I don't disagree. I think that would have been, optically, that would have been a far better look than what we got. But let's talk about some Padres. And our morning show, Ben and Woods, had GM A.J. Preller on, and they grilled him a little bit about different subject matters pertaining to the Padres. And one of those was if A.J. thought that they did enough during the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think we knew that, you know, we had some different areas, I think, that we wanted to address, you know, coming out of last year, I think, you know, with the resources and what we looked at from a budget standpoint, we decided we wanted to spread some money around and attack different areas of the club. You know, we feel like we had a chance to do that. And, you know, offensively, we're looking to get a little bit more balance right and left-handed. And look to get some guys that had a little bit, you know, higher quality at bat than what we've seen from the last few years, you know, on our team. And then, you know, continue to add to the depth of the pitching staff, both in the rotation and the bullpen. And, you know, I think overall our scouts, our front office group, you know, like very prepared and, you know, I think we went about it and, found some guys that matched up with what we wanted to do. And, we've got a lot of work in front of us, but I think we're all looking forward to see some of the new faces on the club this year.
Not expect him to say that we didn't do anything.
We didn't
improve
do enough.
The squad. Yeah,
I'm quite upset with our offseason. We didn't do enough.
I stunk.
Right? Yeah, I doubt he's going to say.
Not going to say that, but I mean, the thing is there's some Padre fans out there who think they did some nice things, and there's probably some Padre fans that are just disgruntled out there and didn't think they did enough. And guess what? We're not going to know for about six more months who's right.
We won't.
You know? I mean, if the team goes 75-87 and finishes in fourth place, then they didn't do enough. If they go 87-75 and sneak into a wild card, then they did enough.
Yeah.
There's really only way to answer that one.
That's fair. And I think that's the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
You go out, you make moves that you think will help, but ultimately you don't know until the ball is rolled out there and the pitcher's on the mound and defense is behind there and there's a hitter up. So I like the moves in terms of the goals, right? You wanted to get more balance. You did that.
Right.
You wanted to add some different type of offensive players, right? Guys who get on base. They did that. I think maybe
statistically they did that. We still need to see the guys
actually
do it.
Exactly.
Right?
From a number standpoint, based off of previous seasons, they
did
that. And they probably got a bonus in adding Pagan because ultimately the bullpen, I think, by all accounts, was the thing that you probably needed the least. And yet it got stronger. And here's A.J. Preller talking about adding Emilio Pagan to this bullpen.
Well, I think it was more just overall value for us. We felt like Pagan was one of the better relievers in the American League last year. And a guy that we, you know, is, you know, 4 years of control and, you know, a guy that could be here for a while. You know, and I think for us, you know, with the bullpen, you know, I think bullpens, again, just like your team, like things change year to year. So, you know, we understand they have some track record that the guys in the pen have. And, you know, we knew that was an area we wanted to strengthen. You know, last year, you know, we were, I think I've said it a few times, getting the ball to Kirby. You know, once we got it to Kirby, we were obviously, you know, he's as good as any reliever in the game the last few years. But getting him there, you know, we struggled at times. And I think that, you know, that prevented us from winning some ball games. So we wanted to strengthen that area. I think in terms of making the Pagan deal, you know, we added to a strength, obviously. I think for the most part, we just felt like from a value standpoint, it helped us out. We're expecting our starters to, you know, to continue to develop and, you know, be consistent and pitch deep in the games. You know, the best teams for the most part, there's a lot of different ways to win, and we'll look at all kind of different ways to, you know, to try to move up in the standings and win ball games. But, you know, usually it comes down to just consistent pitching in general and, you know, having starters that can take you deep into games and then having a quality bullpen and a lot of different options. I think no different for us here this year.
Yeah, and that's what I think AJ's answer at the beginning of that, the overall value, that tells me that it wasn't necessarily a need, but the value was too good to pass up.
I agree.
For what they had to give up, and I think everybody agrees. But I think the last question that we're going to play here was probably one of I think people were curious about the most, and that was A.J. Preller's thoughts on Mookie Betts landing in Los Angeles.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's never, you know, the Dodgers, they obviously have a really good team, and they've been, yeah, the best team in the NLS, and then to, you know, you love to see great players stay in the American League, and we don't have to face them at all, you know, 20 times a year, so, it wasn't the greatest feeling, but I think, you know, again, I think we focus on our team, our situation. You know, I think, you know, the fact that, you know, we've been able to line up on some of these deals, some of these trades here this off season. But, you know, I think, like you said, some of the things dating back to last year, trade deadline, or even, you know, this off season, some of the possibilities, I think it's part of what we've been trying to accomplish as an organization, which is to build the talent base to get into a point that hopefully a lot of these players play for us in Petco on really good teams. But understanding too that, you know, when there's we have enough depth and quality, when there are good players that are out there, we're in the conversation. And, you know, that's been probably the biggest change over the course of the last 4 or 5 years is, you know, we have teams reaching out to us consistently when they have players that they're looking to move and they're looking to try to add quality young players. And I think we're in those conversations. And again, trades are always hard to line up on. You know, it's there's 30 teams and there's a lot of different things that go in from, you know, different teams, you know, philosophies, ownership, where they're at from a, you know, competitive standpoint, where they're at from a budget standpoint. So to actually be the team that lands a trade, it's tough to do that. But ultimately, we've been, you know, been in those conversations, and I think it's just stems from the fact we have talent throughout the organization.
Yeah, they've been in those conversations, and I like that answer. You can obviously, ultimately, you can only control what you and your ball club are got going, and Boston was willing, or the Dodgers were willing to take on money that the Padres weren't, which really kind of sealed the deal there.
I don't even know that it was the Padres weren't willing to take on the money. I mean, they just couldn't take on that much money.
Right,
I mean,
right.
That just was too much.
It was too much. That sound came from our morning show, Ben and Woods, and Ben and Woods are going on the road this week to tape their podcast and are inviting you to join them tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Hooley's Public House at Grossmont Center in El Cajon. Stop by, say hello, have lunch with the guys, and tape the Ben and Woods podcast and sign up to win a Valentine's Day trip to Las Vegas from your friends at 97.3 The Fan. All right, we got to get to break. When we return, Katie Wu of MILB will join us to talk a little bit about Taylor Trammell and some of the other Padres prospects. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 3:36 Thursday afternoon. More on the Astro scandal as we go along here on the program today. Also, firmed up a visit with one of my favorite Aztecs this year. Of course, they're all my favorite Aztecs this year since they're 25-0. But one of my favorites is Yanni Wetzel, and haven't had him on the program yet this year. He's going to join us at 5:05. So you Aztec fans, stick around for that. Katie Wu to talk some Padre prospects in just a sec. Hang in there, Katie. First, we got to check a little traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This report brought to you by Fix Auto Collision Centers. Guys, we get some heavy traffic from Carmel Valley to Carlsbad with a 4-5 car crash northbound 5 at Carlsbad Village Drive. CHP is running a traffic break. One vehicle still blocking the right lane. Another 3-car accident sits on northbound 15 south of Via Rancho. Number 2 lane block here. Thankfully, everybody outside their cars, but that traffic bumper to bumper back from the 56. Drivers also swerving on the southbound side of 15 around debris reported just north of Mercy Road. And an earlier fender bender cleared from the freeway, E78 at Rancho Santa Fe Road. That traffic, though, still jammed from back around Mar Vista. A traffic accident can be a real headache, so let Fix Auto Collision Centers help. Fix Auto has locations throughout the San Diego area. Call 1-800-INFO-FIX to find the location nearest you. Fix Auto, the first words that should come to mind after an accident. Sue DeVincent with Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, thank you, Susan. And now we are very happy to be joined by Katie Wu, MILB.com, Padres prospects. And, of course, that is a big topic heading into spring training. Katie, how are you today?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
We are very glad to have you on the program. And let's just start with Taylor Trammell, because all of a sudden now Manuel Margot has been traded. I know that they signed Juan Lagares, but maybe there's an opening for Taylor Trammell to make the jump. Is that reasonable to think that he could do something like that with a big spring?
You know, I don't really want to rule anybody out this early in the spring. Obviously, Taylor Trammell had a pretty down year coming over from the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Reds, he couldn't quite get it back to where he usually was. But you saw some turnaround there towards the end of the 2019 season. I don't think anyone's going to forget that epic grand slam to win the Texas League championship. I would say personally, though, just having spoken to Taylor, that I don't really think that he's going into spring training with any other goal other than to just be himself. He told me that, you know, he's stressed a little bit mentally trying to be someone that he's not, be a player that he's not, and it showed in his results. So his approach for 2020 is, I'm going to play in my control. I'm not going to try to do too much. I'm just going to be Taylor Trammell, and whatever happens, happens. Now, obviously, the Padres are super big on their prospects, so I don't want to say that it's likely that he'll be up or not likely. I do think that he'll probably open the minors in AAA, maybe AA, we'll see. Coming into the majors is a little far-fetched, but, you know, we don't want to rule anything out with A.J. Preller. He always seems to surprise everybody. So
that is very true. Katie, you did have a chance, as you said, to sit down with him, read the piece on MIB. Is he? I know he wants to play within himself, but does he have the gumption? Does he see himself in that big league outfield? Maybe as possibly as soon as this year?
I would think so, yes. Obviously, you know, all these highly touted prospects, they're here for one reason. It's to make an impact eventually on the big league club. So I think that while he probably won't let on to it too much, that's definitely something that he can envision himself doing, especially, you know, with this Padres outfield has a little bit of some question marks. So definitely an opportunity for him to step up should it come up.
Yeah. Katie Wu, MILB.com, talking some Padres, some prospects, and of course, if you're going to talk prospects, I guess you got to throw Mackenzie Gore's name in there, Luis Patino.
Oh, yes.
Still part of the Padres organization. I mean, I'm sure a bunch of people asked about these guys during the offseason. Padres were not going to part with them. So what can we realistically, again, expect from Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino? Is it possible that we go through the whole season and we don't see them? Or is it pretty much assured thing that once there's an opening in that rotation, we're going to see one of these guys?
I think it's pretty sure that you'll see definitely one, if not both, this year in 2020 in San Diego. They both, you know, had stellar campaigns in high A. And when they came over to double A, I know that they both had limited innings pitched there. I know Mackenzie Gore has barely pitched over 20, but they seem to impress there too. What the biggest thing is, and I was talking to Sam Gini, the head of Padres player development, is how they handle themselves. Yeah. And how they take on the workload just for being the young kind of future stars of this team that they are. They don't take anything lightly. So I would say this spring we'll definitely see a lot more of them and what their capability is, their potential. And, you know, I don't think for Gore, at least, he definitely has the ability to kind of do a Paddock, Chris Paddock-esque escalade to the majors.
Yeah.
I think if he shines in the spring, the Padres will really have to consider whether or not they keep him down or bring him up to start the rotation.
Katie Wu, MILB.com, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Katie, I got one more question for you. One of the hot prospects' names that was been mentioned in some trade rumors was catcher Luis Capistrano. And with there still being some question marks at the big league level, how far away is a guy like Capistrano?
That's a great question. I don't think he's too far away, honestly, especially with, you mentioned, the question marks at the big league roster there. I think he's going to come into spring training as a non-roster invitee, and I think that his spring will say a lot about what he needs to do to eventually get onto the roster.
Right.
They probably won't open with him. That'll probably be a while before we see him, but I think it's pretty obvious that the Padres are banking on this guy a little bit to come and maybe solve some of their questions behind home plate. He definitely has the capability. His power really shined in the California League. So definitely Padres are excited about him. It's just a matter of developing at this moment.
Katie, let me just ask you, if I go down to spring training and I'm going to take in a few ball games, Tony and I touched on the names I think everybody's kind of heard of.
Right.
Are there any young guys that, I mean, this prospect or this organization is not rated number one or two for nothing. I mean, they've got a lot of guys that are potentially going to be making an impact at the big league level. Are there any other guys we should be keeping an eye on this particular spring?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. You know, I really liked Owen Miller and Hudson Potts and Amarillo this past season. They really seemed to kind of get it together. I know Hudson Potts shined last spring, so he has some big steps to fill in. But Owen Miller, too, I think the two of them are a little underrated and would probably rank a lot higher if they were on any other prospect ranking list. But given their fellow prospect mates, you can kind of see why. I definitely think that this spring will be a big time for them to kind of step up and show the prospect world, hey, don't forget about us. Just because we're ranked a little bit low on our team doesn't mean we're low as prospects.
All right, Katie. Well, it's going to be fun. We're going to be down there in Peoria in a couple of weeks. So we appreciate the insight. It's fun to talk Padres prospects, that's for sure. Hopefully, hopefully one day, though, you don't have any prospects to talk about.
Right,
they're all playing in San Diego.
Right.
But
absolutely, that's the goal.
That is definitely the goal. We'll see you soon, Katie.
Thanks so much
for coming on.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, guys.
You betcha. There's Katie Wu, MILB.com on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com.
Owen Miller is 9 and Hudson Potts is 10 on the prospect.
On the list.
Yes.
What do you think of those lists to begin with? You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, the guy's the 9th best player out of everybody? I mean, maybe he's very good. Maybe he shouldn't be 9. Maybe he should be higher. How do they know? How do they know this stuff? Who puts these lists together? And how closely do the teams follow those lists when they're giving guys opportunities? That would be my main question.
The teams follow them very closely. So the teams know everything. So how these lists are formed is they talk to the actual team scouting department.
Right.
And then they talk to rival scouts. And they kind of filter it out that way.
Okay.
And that's how you come up with these top, in this case, now I'm looking at top 20, top 30 lists.
Top 30 Padres prospects. Like,
yes.
Who's the 26th best player in the Padres system right now?
The 26th best player is right-handed pitcher Mason Thompson.
Well, you watch out for him. Because I'm telling you, that number 26 spot, he's number 26 with a bullet. So don't forget about that. You know, another name we didn't ask about is Edward Olivares, who's on the big league roster, right-handed hitting outfielder.
16 on the list.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if he's going to have a chance to sneak in there. Probably battle Juan Lagares for maybe a spot even on the opening day roster. Jorge Ona is on the big league roster.
In Double A last year.
Yes, he did.
What, 283, mm-hmm. 18 homers, 77 RBIs.
You know another guy that we haven't talked about at all this spring, and you and I should be kicked for not talking about him at all, is Ty France.
Yeah,
I haven't mentioned old Ty France, one of our all-time favorite Aztecs.
I actually talked to him 2 days ago.
Did you? How's he doing? Has he been working for maybe some playing time at second base?
That's exactly what we talked
about. Is that what he's thinking about?
He said he's ready to go win a job. So
okay. I mean, Ty France, I mean, go back to...
Did he damn near hit 400 last year?
I don't know exactly where he finished, but go back to July or August. He was batting in the middle of the Padre order.
Yeah.
And he was providing some pop there. 4 home runs hit... no, he didn't hit that much. I'm not even going to say what he hit. 234.
Yeah.
7 home runs. Sorry. 7 home runs, 234 average for Ty France last year. But... yeah, second base, I think, is a place where there's going to be a competition. I know Jerickson Profar is the leader in the clubhouse. Greg Garcia is going to be there in a utility role. But I don't know that Profar definitely just warrants being the automatic starter, you know, based on past performance. I think he's got to show something in the spring to make sure that he's the second baseman.
Yeah, I mean, there was some throwing issues there last year.
Yeah.
So that's not a foregone conclusion, second base.
So Ty is fired up for a run at second base.
All right, good.
All right, I wanted to make sure we mentioned our buddy, Ty France. We're going to do a little Chris versus the fan?
Oh, would you like to?
There you go. That's the voice you're talking.
Oh, would you like to?
Yeah,
what's wrong
see,
with
when
this?
You, when you talk like that, people tend to be critical of your voice. And then you wonder why that is.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, there's a world record right now on Chris versus the fans in terms of opportunities open for you to play.
A world record.
Yes, usually there's all the phone lines are lit up, and I know people call in. They want to play Chris versus the fans. They can't get in there. Don't want to hear that excuse today because there are a couple lines available. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. For your chance today to win a pair of tickets to see the San Diego Seals take on the Rochester Nighthawks Saturday, March 7th, Pechanga Arena. For tickets, go to sealslax.com or win them right now in a battle of Chris versus the fans. Scraby, the rules, please.
You have to make it through three questions.
That's better.
Each question will get
more
difficult.
Sound authoritative over there. Attaboy.
Authority! If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated.
Okay, I can't stand this for much longer.
It's right. Hurry up.
Then you move on to the next question. Or when I sound like Buffalo Bill a little bit. Oh.
Just finish.
And that's it.
Okay.
Or win.
Let's get to this game, please.
Here we go. Please.
First contestant is Corey out in La Mesa. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Corey, how you doing?
Hey, Corey.
How's it going? Happy Friday, Junior.
Freddie Jr. I've never heard
Fair enough.
I had to be quiet for a second because I had to figure that out. All right, here we go. First question. What team was the home team when this happened on Monday Night Football last season?
A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Part of the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line. It's a catch run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50. Oh,
Corey.
Dang cat.
Who was dang the cat. Home team?
Let's go Baltimore.
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 Is. Incorrect.
I think he's going off the Ingram right. reference there.
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember for sure. I think it was the Giants, though.
I don't honestly remember for sure, but I think it's the Giants, and that is correct.
It was the Giants?
Sorry, Corey.
That was funny, man. Kevin Harlan is very funny. All right. Thanks, Corey.
All right. Let's move to the next contestant, Andrew out in San Diego. Welcome to Gwen and Chris.
Next
Happy
up.
Thursday.
Happy Thursday, guys.
Hey, Andrew.
Here we go. Let's get it. First question.
Let's get it.
Which pitcher had no right hand?
Oh, like ever?
He was not born with a right hand.
Major league pitcher.
Jim Abbott.
You
nice
got
work.
It.
Nice work.
Pitched a no-hitter,
I used to
as
be
a matter of fact.
Fascinated.
Me too.
As a kid with Jim Abbott.
Mm-hmm.
He was
absolutely
being able to flip the glove. Flip it back off, make a throw. I mean, it was amazing. Anyway,
they tried to bunt on him all the time, and
they
couldn't.
Worked.
Never
worked.
Nope.
Here we go. Second question, Andrew. What golfer was known as the Golden Bear?
That would be Big Jack Nicklaus.
That would be Big Jack Nicklaus.
We got a player.
Got a player.
On to question number
two in
three.
The books.
Is this Seals ticket?
Or the Seals.
They're
tickets.
On the line right here.
What American League, excuse me, what player won the American League MVP award in 1989 without making an all-star team?
Oh, man. 89.
Boy, that's tough.
I think that was in Chicago.
The all-star game?
Yes.
How would you know that? Oh, your dad.
1989. Oh, man. Jeez
please.
That's so tough.
We're going to need an answer, Andrew.
I know. I'm wrong, but I'm going to go Barry Bonds.
You are wrong because he's not in the American League. American League, MVP 1989. I really don't remember.
I thought this was right up his alley.
The A's and the I think the A's won the pennant that year, but I think all their guys made the All-Star team, so I'm assuming they did not have the MVP. For some reason, George Bell's name is in my mind, so I'll go with George Bell.
George Bell.
Yeah.
Never. Is incorrect.
Hey, we got a winner.
Andrew,
we got
a winner. The answer, Robin Yount of the Milwaukee Brewers, who were in the American League at the time.
Robin Yount got it that
1989.
Year.
1989. Nice work,
man.
Andrew.
Nice work. Andrew, nice
going. Thomas
is
going to take care of you.
Good job. Tough question. I'm good on the MVPs from like the 50s through the mid-80s.
Is 89 just out of your range?
A little bit out
of
my range.
Sweet spot, I should say.
Yeah, my sweet spot is more in the 60s and 70s, which is weird. I don't understand why, but I wasn't really around for all those guys. But I remember those winners for some reason.
That's when you got to be like a real fan before you actually started like working in the industry.
Maybe that's part of it, yeah. I remember getting to cover Jim Abbott a little bit when he pitched for the I think they were then the California Angels.
Yes, they were.
It was amazing to watch him pitch. And I mean, he pitched a no-hitter in his career. I mean, he's got that. And just the fact that he made it to the major leagues. Are you kidding me? With one arm, one hand. And you're right. I mean, he was so lightning quick with that glove that he would throw the pitch left-handed and take the glove. I mean, he had the glove underneath the stub of his right arm as he threw the pitch,
yes.
And then he would slip his left hand in there to field it with his left hand, and then he would be able to put the glove in, grab the ball, and throw it all in one motion. And
it was
people
amazing.
Tried to bunt on him all the time because they thought, well, there's no way he's going to be able to throw me out. But he threw him out. So, yeah, Jim Abbott was an amazing competitor. Out of the University of Michigan, if I recall.
That's right.
If I recall. All right, good job by Andrew. He takes down the trivia today. We'll have another round of trivia coming up on the program tomorrow. In the 4 o'clock hour, which is almost upon us, Mike Meltzer hosts ESPN Radio, Mad Dog Radio in Houston. Yes, we do want to talk about the Astros a little bit more. And Yanni Wetzel of the San Diego State undefeated men's basketball team will be on the show at 5:05. So those things are still to come on the program. I was in Albuquerque, as you know, the last couple of days, and I want to thank the folks down there. I went on a Breaking Bad tour.
Wow.
I actually became like Mr. Nerd and went on a Breaking Bad tour. Breaking Bad, of course, the somewhat famous television show that was filmed in Albuquerque. So I sat on a tour bus yesterday for 3.5 hours.
What?
And drove all over Albuquerque, New Mexico. And they went, see that apartment there? They shot that scene right there. And then they would show the scene up on the they had a video going on the tour bus. So they would show the scene from the actual show, and then they would pull up at the site. It was pretty fun, I got to admit it. I'm not a big tour guy, and I'm obviously...
Because that sounds miserable.
Well, if you never watched Breaking Bad, of course you would hate it, right? But if you're a Breaking Bad fan, and I know there are many Breaking Bad fans, and maybe you didn't even know that it existed, I wasn't sure. Kirk Kenny was the guy who told me about it. But there is a Breaking Bad tour that you can take in Albuquerque. So if any of you are ever down that way, look it up. You'll get a nice, fun tour. You'll have a great time if you're a Breaking Bad fan. I will say that.
Boom.
That was that.
All right.
Yeah, all right. You know, I'm just ducking it in. Doing my little...
That was an encouragement. All right.
I was just ducking it in before we get to the top of the hour. We had a couple of seconds there, so thought I would do that. You know.
Oh, that would mean...
How did you guys not watch that show at all?
I did.
Like, did you just not get the word on it?
You
couldn't get into it?
Yeah.
I got the word on it. I was still... When was Breaking Bad?
It's early 10 years ago to 5 years ago.
Yeah, I was like in...
It was 5 years.
Five.
So it's from 10 years ago to 5 years ago.
Yeah, I was hanging on to my career. I was trying to... I had to
hanging
focus.
On to my career.
I had to focus. I couldn't watch Breaking Bad.
Well, with all due respect, it's never too late
because
it's on Netflix and you can watch it anytime.
Yeah.
And,
stop being a hater, Scream.
You know, you can say, eh.
You know, I'm a big
or
drug
you
guy.
Can, I mean, you're basically going, eh, to a show that most people think is one of the greatest television shows of all time.
I'm aware. But...
So you're just being a hater because you didn't see it.
No, I watched like 2 seasons of it and I gave up.
Well, that's good for Breaking Bad. All right, it's Gwen and Chris coming back. Hour number 2, San Diego's number 1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.